This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to The Morning Run. I'm Roshan Kanisen with Noel Lim in the studio this morning. In about half an hour, we'll be speaking to political commentator Dr. Bridget Welsh on the slim by-elections and her expectations. But in the meantime, let's talk about direct negotiation. This has been easily the hottest topic in the last few days, and the saga has taken a turn since we last covered the issue on Wednesday morning.
Yes, it's really taken its own life, right? So later that day, Finance Minister Tengku Datuk Sri Zafrul Aziz released a list of 101 projects that were supposedly made through direct negotiation under the Pakatan Harapan government, amounting to 6.6 billion ringgit. But of course, Tengku Zafrul did say the contract awards via direct negos are allowed, provided that the MOF gives it approval and it follows the conditions stipulated under the Financial Procedure Act and relevant regulations.
Yes, and we did see some reactions from Pakatan Harapan on the disclosure. Former Finance Minister Lim Guan Eng held a press conference yesterday to extensively rebut the allegations. Guan Eng said that the Pakatan Harapan government was only responsible for about 5% of the 101 projects listed, amounting to some 350 million ringgit. The majority of the contracts were for legacy projects under the Barisan National Administration, while about a third of the contracts were for supplies and services under BN. Now, for more on this, we're going to hear from Ong Kian Ming, MP for Bangi and former Minister of International Trade and Industry for Pakatan Harapan's side of the story. Kian Ming, thank you for joining us this morning. So PH has said that the bulk of the projects were legacy projects with payments made during the PH administration. What were the erroneous projects attributed to Pakatan Harapan here?
Good morning. First of all, just a clarification. I'm the former deputy minister of MITI, not the minister, you said.
Sorry about that.
Yeah, just wanted to get that clear. So I think the statement made by former minister Lim Guan Eng was very clear. In that the bulk of the projects that were listed under the 6.6 billion were actually legacy projects coming from BN's time. So the biggest contribution, almost 4.7 billion, was from an extension of a direct negotiation project for the Klang Valley double tracking project that was awarded via direct nego during BN's time. We found that it was difficult for us to reopen tender that particular project because that company already had done work on this extension, and that would have had some legal implications as well. So we decided to renegotiate and then reduce the cost by 15%. I think this is part and parcel of a larger smear campaign that backfired on the PN government, wanting to say that PH was doing the same thing as what BN was doing in the past. I think the facts speak for themselves, and you can see that we were much more transparent with our procurement processes and also carrying out those processes compared to the BN.
There were 9 projects under MITI, the ministry that you were attached to, 4 of which Pakatan Harapan claims were for contracts carried out before GE14. Could you talk us through about the other 5 contracts which were done under direct negotiations?
Yeah. Hi, Noel. First of all, the value of the contracts that were listed under MITI for direct nego is about 10 million. And when I went through the contracts, I found out that there were 4 contracts worth about 8 million or 80% of that 10 million that were for events that took place before the 14th general election, but was wrongly attributed to the PH government. It actually surprised me quite a bit because these were events where, you know, millions were spent, but I and also the minister didn't get any invites. When I saw these events, I thought, how come we didn't get any invitations to these very expensive events? And when I checked the details on MITI's website and also on Facebook, I found out that these were pre-G14 election sort of like election-related events, in the sense that they were out to try to get support, you know, in March and also in January of 2018. The remaining 2 million that were awarded by direct nego via MITI, I think I can explain them very clearly. So, for example, there was a project awarded for Lima 2019 to a company called EN Projects. EN Projects in Riam Berhad is actually the co-organizer for Lima 2019. So we had to pay the part of the organizing fees for MITI's involvement in that particular project. The same thing goes for Industry Forward Summit that was paid to Prisma Gallery. This is actually the company that manages the MyTech Convention Center. Since we were having the summit at MyTech, it was obvious that we had to pay via direct nego to that particular company. Another one was that extension of IT contracts worth $1.2 million. This was for a 6-month period. This was to tie things through licensing for IT products and whatnot. Because there was a transition period from BN to PH. And then the last one was an award to the Malaysian Productivity Corporation for the organization of this Anugerah Kerja Melangat Industri. MPC is an agency underneath, and they've always organized the ATI every year. So, it was quite clear why that was a direct nego that was awarded to one particular agency. So we can explain every single one of these very easily.
Yeah, apart from the last one, the first few that you mentioned, why was it a direct nego and not an open tender?
Because I thought it was quite clear. If, let's say, we're going to have an event in Lima, we have to pay the co-organizer of Lima, this EN Projects, the value of the amount that was listed.
So the co-organizer, was it a direct nego, or how was the co-organizer selected? Was it a direct nego?
So the co-organizer is a co-organizer with MINDEF. So in terms of the selection process, you have to ask them, right? But as far as MITI is concerned, there was the payment was made to the co-organizer because they were the only party that was involved from the private sector in that particular event. The same thing for MITEC, because MITEC is located next to MITI, and that was the most suitable location to have our industry forward summit. And they also gave us a discount, for their rental as well. So we paid the company that manages MITEC through direct nego. So I think this is quite easy to justify, the expenditure of $2 million under MITI in 22 months versus the $8 million that was awarded under the BN's time in 3 months. And I've asked Tengku Zafrul to release the rest of the information for direct nego under MITI from 2013 to 2018, and so that people can make a very direct comparison.
I think it's important to emphasize here that its transparency is of the utmost importance, right? We want to, how do we move forward from this? Because 6.6 billion ringgit in direct negotiations, whoever commissioned the negotiations, moving forward, we need to find a way to make that more open, more transparent, so that we're all aware of it. I mean, this, at the end of the day, however, whatever the motivations for releasing the list, we are now talking about it. Going forward, Kiaming, in your view, how do we make the process of procurement more transparent? Some people have proposed legislation like a Government Procurement Act.
I think in the short run, one very easy way to make it more transparent is to list down all the direct nego projects under the myprocurement.treasury.gov.my website. So if you go to the website today, you'll be able to look under the archives and find a listing of quite a number of projects that were awarded via direct nego under BN's time. This is 2013 to 2018. Not all the projects are listed there, but some are. So if, let's say, the government can commit to listing down all the direct nego projects when they are, when they have been, awarded on the website, then people and journalists such as yourselves can go and check and see and question the ministers to see whether this is a legitimate award or whether there are questions raised.
And overall, just going back to the direct negotiations, can a direct negotiation project be approved without the minister's knowledge? I think there's a bit of different information on this at this point.
Yeah, so actually it depends on how each individual minister in each ministry wants to coordinate this process. Some ministers prefer not to deal with or get involved in the direct nego amounts, which are very small, let's say, a couple of thousand or tens of thousands or even 1 or 2 million in that. This process can be handled by the KSU to MOF directly. But of course, for some of the bigger projects, such as the 170 million upgrading of the waste transfer station in Kepong, this is a project under YB Zuraida's ministry, the housing ministry. I think given the fact that this is such a large project, definitely the minister would be aware of this project. he or she may not be involved in the direct negotiation process. He or she may leave it to the civil servants to undergo the process in a thorough way. But definitely for large scale projects, the minister would be involved. And also for large scale projects such as the Klang Valley double tracking project that was extended for 4.7 billion ringgit, this one did go through cabinet. So for Azmin Ali and Zuraida to say that none of these projects were actually announced in were actually discussed or raised in cabinet, I think it's a outright lie on their part.
All right, Kemming, thank you so much for joining us today. That was Dr. Ong Ken Ming, MP for Bangi. We have reached out to the Ministry of Finance for their comments, but haven't received a reply yet. And we're taking, and I think this really highlights the overall need for transparency in the process, right? And I'm actually personally happy that this conversation is happening because we need to talk about it.
Yes, very true. And so I think the low-hanging fruits is just to put all that information online and so everyone can just have a look and have a field day with it. Secondly, I think looking longer term, the Government Procurement Act, I think it was targeted for 2023. I think my question is, should this be brought forward earlier, given the urgency of, when we are talking about how to, kill corruption and so forth?
And that is the conversation I think that's going to be going on over the next few days. We're all waiting to see how the response is to this and how we move forward from this point. Up next, we'll be speaking to Amin Ben Said of Bloomberg Intelligence on the future of the movie industry. That's happening after the 7:30 AM news bulletin. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.